four times in Scripture where the list of 12 occurs. Matthew 10, Mark 3, Luke 6, and Acts chapter 1. In each occasion, the 12 are always broken into three groups of four. Right? Group 1 is always Peter, Andrew, James, and John. Group 2 is always Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, and Matthew. Group 3 is always James, Levius, Simon, and Judas Iscariot. And that in each of those listings, the same name always appears first for each group, although the other order might vary a little bit. I think there's some significance in that. I'll bring that up here in just a minute. When the names are listed, Peter is always first, and Judas Iscariot is always last. Again, these were just ordinary men. Think about that. And yet the Lord's going to use them to change the world. He's going to use them to change the world. They would serve, the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20, as the foundation for the local church. This is what they're facing. That they're going to be entrusted with the responsibility of the gospel in truth once Christ leaves. This group of men right here, these 12 that he's pulling aside now, getting ready to send them out. He's getting ready to send them out again two by two. He's going to pair them up right now as we head into chapter 10. We'll see that. And they have an amazing responsibility ahead of them. We know most about the first group. Peter, James, John, and Andrew. We have a lot of details about their life. But as we get into the second group, the second and third group, we know less and less. We know some things about the second group with Matthew and Philip and Bartholomew. We know some things about that group. We really know virtually nothing about the third group except for Judas Iscariot. About you, we really don't want to know about them. And I think there's many different things there that we could learn. Even of the first group, which was closest to Christ, even close to three of those, even a little bit closer. I'm not going to dwell on this 2 months, but I did find that interesting. And I was reading in one commentary for one pastor, he brought up a really good point. He said that not all can be close to leadership. Not all can be close to leadership. It's just not possible. That even demonstrated with Christ when he was on the earth. Interesting. And so Christ is going to send these 12 out right now, Matthew 10. It's going to be their first time that he is commissioning them. He's going to send them out again, two by two. This is going to be their first experience in switching roles now. Now they're not just going to be the disciple, now they're apostles. Now for today, what I want to concentrate on is Peter only. Then again, next week we'll probably get into the other 11 at that time. And I want to spend most of the time on Peter because, well, the gospel too. Outside of Jesus Christ mentioned in the four gospels, Peter is the next name that is mentioned most. And even though, really, it's Peter is an interesting, he is certainly a fella, as we're going to look at him, that he did a lot of things to change in his life. Much like all of us. He was far from perfect. Wasn't even close to it. So we're going to see, again, what the Lord does with him. There's a lot that we can learn from Peter. Again, we have a great example of leadership. We have a great example of what Christ looks for when he uses him. It wasn't just arbitrary that Peter rose to a leadership position. Again, all 12 were equal in office. They had the same function, but Peter clearly rose to a level of leadership within the walk of Christ and into the first century. So again, a great example. I think there's a lot we can learn from him. We can see how the Lord can change a life. To take somebody from being a fisher then to being a fisher of men. To change someone from simply being Simon to Peter. What that means. Again, to change someone from being ordinary to a rock. Today I want to see three things about his life. First, we are going to look at the challenges that Peter had in his life. The things that were in his life that absolutely would prevent God from using him. Things that had to be removed. Things that God was going to have to do a work of grace and strength in his heart with Peter humbly submitting himself unto God so that God could, in fact, use him. We'll look at that for just a few minutes. And then secondly, we're going to look at Peter's character. Or what was present in his life. What was it that there, what was there present in his life that the Lord responded to? And thirdly, we're going to look at the change in his life. The change that did occur that we see in the book of Acts. Again, we see Peter going, from thee. And I imagine all the other things are right now. Let's just stay clear of this one. And the Lord, of course, responded sharply and calls him to see. When he sees Christ transfigured, all right, to be up on that mountain, those 3 that he took up on it, and to see, you know, his glory actually. What an amazing event that is. And Peter responds right before the Father speaks, let's build some statues. Let's go ahead and make some graven images right now. Let's just go ahead and get this over with. And of course, the Father speaks, and they're down on their face, they're on the ground. But many times, he acted without doing it. That's what we need to change in this life. The Lord certainly does need to change. Not only that, Peter had another problem that a lot of us have. He closely addressed another problem. Remember when the Lord said that all of you are going to be disappointed? The Lord was preparing. The Lord was showing grace by that statement. Was showing disappointment by that statement. He was trying to show grace. Let me know. I understand. Peter, believing it with all of his heart, Lord, I'm ready to go to prison. I'm ready to die. He believed it. He wasn't playing a hypocrite when he made that statement. He really believed that he was ready to die for Christ. Now, he underestimated his power. And then just hours after making that statement, we see Peter is the one right there. I mean, I give the guy credit. All the other ones are gone, and he is staying as close as he can to the Lord. We know they can see each other. I mean, he's that close. And then all of a sudden, that woman speaks up and says, hey, there's one of them right there. Just like that, Peter denies. I don't know him. Beginning to realize right there. Hours ago. Peter's thinking the same. Just hours ago, I was ready to die for him. And now, you're from Galilee. Yeah, we've seen you with him. No, I don't know him. And the Lord told him, the Bible says that he's alive. Now, let's look at his character. Let's look at some traits that were in him. The Lord saw in him that served as the building blocks for him. First of all, it's interesting about Peter. And as I was going through this week, I looked at every verse of it. Looking at all of them, whatever I saw in the name of Simon Peter, the son. And looking at all those things. And here's some things that I found interesting. One, Peter always wanted to know the Lord. When you're going through, he's always the one that's asking questions. He's always the one that's asking questions. You know, he was the one asking questions when if they didn't understand the parable, it's usually Peter that was speaking up. It was usually Peter who made the remark, sort of a question, not quite a question, about the fig tree when they came back. It was Peter who asked, how many times do I need to forgive my brother? It was Peter who was asking about the things to come, the eschatology, the future things with the kingdom. It was Peter who was asking those questions. In other words, what he's saying is, what that demonstrates about Peter is he wanted to get things right. He wanted to understand. He certainly had passion for the Lord, but the Lord knows that passion has to be in check. It has to be balanced with truth. Passion operating outside of truth is dangerous. And it showed he had a desire for the Lord and a desire to get it right. I remember as I was going through this, I was remembering back different men. As we go through the book of Acts, now you have 12 chapters of Acts basically dedicated to what Peter was doing for the most part. That's what you see in the first 12 chapters. It's basically following Peter and what he's doing. You're no longer seeing the rashness. You're no longer seeing the impulsiveness. You're really seeing a changed man. It's hard to identify.